Trustee Wali, that's for sweets. Diwali, have Guru Purnima, that's for fun. Throw colors. You have some Uttarayana, Makar Sankranti is for winter sesame sweets. And, you know, because usually people like the new year, right? So if it's something good, why have only one? You can have at least, you know, 10, 12. But Prabhupada goes to the max and he says, for a devotee in Krishna consciousness, every day is like the new year. So, happy new year, everybody. And today is the first day of the rest of your life. We have, again, the new beginnings of the old things. You can restart things every day. Some years ago, one devotee here said that... yeah, by the way, some years ago I heard a funny phrase here that we begin our new life on Monday. And Monday is tomorrow, so be careful. We begin our new life on Monday. And the new life usually lasts till Tuesday. And then the important thing is that we don't have to wait until the next Monday. You can again begin on Wednesday. And it's okay. You don't need to wait till the new year, till Monday, till number first. In fact, we can probably say that for a twice born, who knows who is a twice born? Who has heard Dija, twice born? Who can speculate who is a twice born? Who can guess who is a twice born? Second initiation, yeah, very technical. Second initiation. Who else is a twice born? Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. Yes, some technical information. Anybody has, how to say? Vaishnava, every Vaishnava is a Brahmana, yes. Yes, near death experience, and then coming back to life. Yeah, okay, that's good. Yeah, already first initiation is twice born. Yeah, the most important thing of the life has happened.
First birth is parents.
Yeah, exactly. The first birth is parents, and the second is meeting the spiritual master and getting initiated into the spiritual life. Yeah, wonderful. Just so I know, is there anybody here who hears the word Vaishya Kshatriya like for the first or second time and has difficulty figuring out what's Vaishya Kshatriya, these, you know, Sanskrit words? Okay, we have... Okay, it's not so clear. Anybody else? It's not quite clear who is a Vaishya, who is a Kshatriya. Okay, the rest is experienced Sanskritologists. I can use a lot of Sanskrit, maybe. So Vaishya, Kshatriya, and Brahmana are the different natures in the society. So a Brahmana is somebody who is inclined to the spiritual activities or teaching and learning, scholars, teachers, priests. Kshatriya will be an administrator, fighter, warrior, things like this. And Vaishya is a businessman or a farmer, somebody who knows how to turn dirt into gold. Literally. Dirt into gold, yes. So they are all getting the second initiation or the Brahmin initiation. They're all twice born, so they all chant the Gayatri mantras, special mantras, in the classic Indian society. And this is like stopping three times a day, in the morning, in the evening, and, sorry, in the middle of the day. You stop and you remember. Om. Burvasva, Tat Savitur. You remember, okay, these three worlds, the earth, the water, the skies, they are coming from the effulgent source, creator of everything. And therefore, they deserve our respect and worship. And therefore, so in other words, you try to harmonize your vision of the world and see and remember, who am I? What am I doing here? Right? Not running around like a headless chicken. I heard that headless chicken can still run around for some time. Hare Krishna.
our VHE director says, on the farm, it could be seen, it was in France, it could be seen headless chicken running around. So we should not run around like headless chicken. You should run around like chicken with heads. By the way, chicken are also twice born, you know? Yeah, birds. Thank you, Marcel. Birds, snakes, fish. Birds, snakes, fish. Yeah, those who take birth from eggs, they are twice born. First, they take birth as an egg, and then they take birth again. Teeth also are considered twice born. Some of us have transcendental. Okay. Some transcendental work, Hare Krishna. So, a wise person or a trained person or a person initiated into spiritual life will stop at least sometimes and think, who am I? What am I doing? So at least we see that religious people, at least on Sunday, they will come to the temple and they will try to remember, oh yeah, there is God, and we are supposed to somehow connect with God and somehow get in harmony and put everything in this world in harmony. Yeah. So some people begin the new life once a year. Some people begin the new life three times a day. Main thing is you stick with it at least for a little while so you can get carried over to some better levels. So that brings us to the title of today's class. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who are like 1321, who are like desire trees. You are like desire trees capable of fulfilling desires of everyone. And and you are oceans of mercy. Not rivers, but oceans. That's your job description, being an ocean of mercy. Oceans of mercy. So my respectful obeisances to all the devotees. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Limits of Control. So, I agree it's somewhat weird title, but it gives me a lot of scope to, a lot of room to say a lot of things. I don't know how many things we will say, but some things can be said. So, The Limits of Control. What is my influence? What can I influence? What can I do in life? No, it's fine. I'll clear it. Thank you. It's fine. How much can I do? How much is possible for me? There are different ideas about this. Some people say you can do everything. Some people say you can do nothing. Some people try to figure out where is the limit between everything and nothing. How much of nothing and how much of everything actually is allowed and is possible. Right. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, our super text, there is a verse where Krishna speaks about it. This is 13:21. The verse which says about what is done by nature and what is the domain, the realm, how far the power of nature extends, material world, material energies, and how far is the influence of you, the spirit soul, extending, how far you can do influence. The chapter is called Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. And I want to congratulate you. We made it into the category of the enjoyer. It's a little funny, yes, but still. Technically, we are the enjoyers. We just haven't found maybe sometimes the proper way, proper method. So this is Prakriti Purusha Vibhaga Yoga in Sanskrit. The yoga of knowing the difference between the nature and Purusha. Purusha, here Prabhupada translates as the enjoyer. So the verse 21 says, Karya karana kartritve hetu prakriti ruchyate purusha sukha dukkanam bhoktritve hetu ruchyate. So since all of you love Sanskrit, maybe you can still read word for word. Yes? These are big, important, famous Sanskrit words. So we can see Prabhupada never hides a single letter. He puts a translation for every single word, so you can see how does it actually go in Sanskrit, in the original words of Krishna. So let's maybe chant together. Karya,
karya.
Of effect.
Of effect.
Karanam,
karanam.
And cause.
Kartritve,
kartritve. In the matter of creation. So this is Karya Karana Kartritve. It's a very philosophical trio. Karya is the effect, Karana is the instrument, and Kartritva is the doer. And it can be even expanded into the three gunas. Tamas, the effect, something that's outside. Karana is a synonym for the senses. So that's usually rajas, passion. Three forces that run the world. Ignorance, tamas, passion, and then kartritva is the doer, or the duties. So that will be sattvic in that scheme. So karya karana kartritva. Hetu.
Hetu.
The cause.
Cause.
Prakriti.
Prakriti.
Material nature.
Material nature.
Uchyate.
Uchyate.
Is said to be. Purusha.
Purusha.
The living entity. And that's us. Congratulations. We are the Purushas. Yes, we are small Purushas. There is a very, very big Purusha. some of us are Adi Purusha, but most of us are Adi Purusha Dasas. So there's a significant difference. Painful, but significant. Right? Okay. Sukha.
Of happiness.
Dukkanam.
Dukkanam.
And distress. Bhoktritve.
Bhoktritve.
In enjoyment. Hetu.
Hetu.
The instrument.
Uchyate. Uchyate.
Is said to be.
Said to be.
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects. Whereas the living entity, and again I will mention this is us, we are the living entities, most of us. Still the living entities belonging to this category. Okay. Whereas the living entity, Purusha, the soul, is the cause of the various sufferings and enjoyments in this world. So you are the cause of various sufferings and enjoyments. So do you sometimes enjoy in this world? If not, then wait till the feast in an hour. We will show you what enjoyment is. practical demonstration of turning matter into spirit. Right now the miracle is happening there in the altar. Devendra Gopal is doing some magic there. He's helping to convert matter into spirit. Yes. Right. And did you ever experience suffering? Right. Of course, not here, not in Slovenia, but you know, sometimes somewhere people may suffer. That happens sometimes. Okay. So, we are the cause of enjoyment and suffering. Sounds very mysterious. What's your understanding that you are the cause of suffering and enjoyment? Do you have some ideas? How do you cause suffering and enjoyment?
Your perception.
Perception of reality. Meaning that I perceive suffering and happiness, or how I perceive influences?
Yes.
How I perceive?
Both.
Both, okay. Yeah, okay. So how I perceive, okay, influences, where they are suffer, where I suffer and where I enjoy, yeah?
Yes.
Maharaj?
Right desire and wrong desire.
Right desire and wrong desire, yes. If there are proper desires, there will be some happiness. If there are wrong desires, there will be some suffering. Yes. Okay. Okay. Kavi? Yes, ichadvesha samuthena. So people coming, souls are coming, entering into this world because of icha and dvesha, of desires and repulsions, antipathies. When you want something, that's icha. When you hate something, that's dvesha. So under the influence of these, we are moved in this world. Okay, yeah. So if you want something, you can enjoy, and if you hate something, you can suffer. Okay, any other ideas about how we are the cause of suffering and enjoyment?
Actions, right and wrong actions.
Actions, actions? Yeah, okay, so we create actions, and then the reactions come as suffering and enjoyment, yes? Yes. All right, any other thoughts on this? Thank you, now it's clearer for me, because it's actually a mysterious verse. I've been thinking about this a lot. Is it just the description of an accident that we happen to be somehow connected to suffering and enjoying, or do we actually influence our suffering and enjoyment? So, tat prabhavascha. In this chapter, Krishna promised he will describe that in the beginning. He said that he would describe how far is your influence extending. How far does your influence go? So that is part of that answer. How far you can influence. So, in short, the short answer is that your influence extends to where do you find your suffering and where do you find your enjoyment. Congratulations. So, now it's simple. You just choose the right enjoyment and choose the right suffering, and that's it. You're well set up to head back home, back to the perfect spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. Now, how do we choose where to enjoy and how and where to suffer? Can we choose where to enjoy and where to suffer? Is it possible to choose where I enjoy, where I suffer? Okay, let's first choose where we suffer. Yeah, but yes, good. But apparently we can adjust. Apparently we can move here and there. We can go higher. And as humans, having been born in a human body, all of us have at least some degree of sattva-guna mode of goodness, and therefore we have some choice. So therefore we have the ability to change our course in this life. And apparently what Krishna describes here is that by choosing where you suffer, where you enjoy, this is how you move through the modes. Maharaj? Is it physical suffering or suffering in general? I think suffering in general.
Then being in the material world is a form of suffering.
Yes, being in the material world is a form of suffering, exactly. So that was coming just before, that one who understands that janma mrityu jara vyadhi are the birth, death, disease, old age cause suffering in this world, always. So there, when we see these as something that are the constant troubles, then you are a wise person. Wise person. In Slovenian, modrets, yes? Modrets. And how do you say a blue person? Is it connected to the school of hard knocks? That or is it accidental? Anyway, those who don't know Slovenian, in Slovenian, blue and wise practically is the same.
Maybe it's connected because Krishna is blue, so he's the most wise.
Maybe, yes. I hope so. Let's hope. Thank you. Yes, so the wise person, knowledge is to understand that some things are suffering or are a cause of trouble in this world. Okay, thank you. Where else can we find suffering? Where is a good place to find our suffering?
Our mind.
How? Our mind. How? You mean like to see our mind as the troublemaker? Uh-huh. Okay, that sounds almost like Shakespeare. There is nothing good and bad, but thinking makes it so. Hamlet says, there is nothing good and bad, but thinking makes it so. That sounds very postmodern, yeah? There is good and bad, actually, but thinking is influencing a lot the mind. Yeah, okay. So, our interpretation, that's cause of suffering. How we interpret things is a cause of suffering. Yeah, guna dosha, drishir dosha. Yeah, just splitting things into very good and very bad is bad in itself. All
right.
Yes, exactly. Yes, that's probably the verse that Shakespeare was trying to translate. the duality of good and bad is mental speculation. Yes, exact. That's exact translation. There's nothing good and bad, but thinking makes it so. Yeah, quoting the 11th canto, yes. Thank you. So, yes, I remember things that... I remember once in our temple, in the BBT, it was winter, and some guests were coming, and they said, we have a sauna in our company. We have a company sauna. So they said, we want to offer you a ride. We will send a bus, and we want to invite your devotees from the temple to enjoy our sauna. And they sent a ride in the bus, and we went to the sauna, and it was a dry sauna. So dry sauna means we had to take off even our kantimala, because it has a little metal here. We had to take it off because there was a thermometer on the wall, and the thermometer was showing 120 degrees above boiling. It was hot. And then, yes. No, centigrade, sorry, centigrade, yes. 120 centigrade Celsius. So it was very hot, and then we would go, and some of us jumped into the cold swimming pool, and some of us, it was the Black Sea, winter, something like January, so the temperature was about 7 degrees of the sea. So I remember me and Karuna Nidhi, we jumped into the sea and swam for a while, and the temperature was freezing cold. And I felt, oh, it's so good. But then it struck me, you know, if somebody forced me to sit in a room that's 120 degrees hot, and then they would, or they would force me to go into the 7 degrees centigrade water, freezing cold. If I were forced, I would think it's miserable, right? But because it was presented as great enjoyment, as a luxury, I thought I am very privileged to enjoy it, right? So that's one illustration of how our interpretation makes one into the other, one thing into the other thing. Something that's miserable becomes pleasurable, and vice versa. Okay, so where else can we find our suffering to advance? The body without association. Thank you. Yeah, that was the talk between Ramananda Roy. He's on that picture, the last picture on the left there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, what is the greatest suffering? And he said, separation from devotees of the Lord is the greatest suffering. Not having association with Krishna's devotees is the greatest suffering. Yeah? Okay. So if we see suffering properly, through the proper lens, it will help us to move higher. What is the wrong place to find suffering? Where we should not find suffering? Yes, Maharaj.
Blaming another person.
Just saying that you are the cause of my suffering. Yeah? Again, this is for internal use, right? You should not come and steal the other person's sweets. It's, you know, the Sunday feast is coming, and yeah, it's a serious matter, huh? Yeah, I'm saying that it's for internal use only. A lot of these things are not for preaching; they are for internal use application. You know, like on medicine, they sometimes write external use only. We think that all the what we hear in any lecture is for external use only. Did it happen to you? You sometimes hear a lecture and you think, gosh, where is that Prabhu? I should give this lecture to that Prabhu. He should learn it. Did it happen to you? Somehow it happened to me so many times that the exact instruction that somebody needed, he didn't come to listen. So frustrating, huh? Why didn't he come at exactly this moment? He's not there. But somehow, actually, this is the wrong vision because all the instructions are for me. Yeah? And Krishna saves, he protects that person. From hearing what I think he should hear. Right? And if I think that he should hear that, maybe I should hear this myself. Right? I should be the example. All right. So yeah, it's for internal use only. In other words, I shouldn't come take away the sweets. Like now, Kavi will take some cake, and I will come take away the cake and say, Kavi, it's your karma. You shouldn't blame me. Don't accuse me. Don't, right? Why should you accuse me? You should have a proper vision. That may be correct. That may be correct, but that's for Kavi himself to decide and for me myself to decide that I should have the proper vision, right? Otherwise, to other people we practice, we are instructed, we are taught, not taught even, we are ordered by the Veda to be compassionate. One of the three pillars of religion is mercy. So if we are not merciful, we are not religious. Right? So if, for example, if Sasha Prabhu takes away the sweets from Kavi Prabhu, yes, I shouldn't come and tell Kavi, take it as Krishna's mercy, and be happy. I should take my sweets and give it to him, right? Or at least I should say, oh, I'm sorry, you lost your sweets. That's the description, that's the order of religion, right? Four pillars of religion. Sometimes we mix two levels. Ramanujacharya in the Gita says that the description of the soul never dying is metaphysical. So metaphysically, yes, it's all karma. Metaphysically, yes, we are the architect of our own happiness. Metaphysically. Nobody kills, nobody is killed. Metaphysically. But philosophy has metaphysics and ethics. And ethically, I should never think like this, and I should never base my behavior on that. Ethically, I should act in the most merciful way possible. Right? These are two separate fields in philosophy. So philosophy means metaphysics, how I see, and ethics, how I act and how I treat others. The golden rule.
But there was no place for ethics.
Where? There was. I mean, you can see that how the first chapter ends. Prabhupada says that such a kind-hearted person like Arjuna, who was trying to be kind, deserves to get spiritual knowledge. Otherwise, a cruel person should not be given such spiritual knowledge, because they will misuse metaphysics for justifying what their cruelty and aggression and all the horrible things they do. So metaphysics, that's why there was a high qualification for disciples. You have to you had to make sure that he is merciful and kind. Then you can teach him about your metaphysics, that your eternal soul, you never die. Maharaj? Yes. So again, metaphysics for internal use, to be peaceful, to keep peace. Ethics for dealing with others, because ethics means interaction. Okay.
Isn't the final instruction Sarva Dharma Paritya? So forget all of your ethics and do what I tell you.
Yes.
Isn't that Krishna instructed Arjuna, forget about ethics, just do what I tell you. Kill your relatives, because I told you to kill your relatives.
But not in an angry mood, not because you hate them. No, it's important. It's important. It's important. Because if you do it as your duty or as Krishna's order, this is one thing. But if you become a sadist, you are a war criminal. You will be judged at Nuremberg and you will be sentenced to bad things. It's a big difference. So in the Gita, okay, do as I tell you. And how does Krishna tell him? He tells throughout the Gita, be merciful. Advaishta sarvudana maitrah karuna evacha. Be non-inimical, be friendly, and be merciful. That's the first three things he says, how my devotee behaves in chapter 12.
Be merciful and kill them. Kill your relatives.
Yes.
With a smile.
That's already too much, I guess. No, I mean, this is a subtle point, but it's important. Yes. That's the same thing, yeah. It was not a whimsical war. It was not even just religious war. In a religious war, even then he was supposed aggressors. Prabhupada says, what's a religious war? Aggressor comes to kill you, kill your wife, children, and burn your house. And then your fighting back is your religious duty. That's a religious war. But this was more than a religious war. That was actually Krishna's. Krishna said, "Not only it's religious, I do it for me because I tell you to do this." But even more than that. Okay, so we are talking about the limits of control, our limits of control, and we just discussed our suffering and enjoyment. Krishna says that's the limits of your control here. You are the cause of your suffering and your enjoyment. And where we find what we call our suffering and enjoyment is a big part of our control, our value system. It's obviously a very large topic. Over thousands of years, philosophers have been debating about this point. Can we do something? Can we not do anything? Do we have a choice? Is there free choice? How free is the free choice, free will? Yeah, it's a complicated topic. But one thing that is important to understand, we do have a choice. That's what Krishna is saying. In the Gita 18:14, Prabhupada quotes Vedanta Sutra, the final conclusion, karta shastratvatva. You are the doer. You do make choices. Otherwise, all the scriptures, all the holy texts would be useless. Yes, Maharaj.
How about that? That's contrary.
Exactly. Yeah, 327. That's what the other side. Kartaham iti manyate. Only a fool, a donkey-like fool, donkey, thinks I'm the doer. So Baldevidya Bhushan, in the that text, 327, he says that this thinking is the choice. even thinking. You can think like this, or you can think like that. That's the choice. Yeah, and then the activity is the concomitant. It comes after your thinking. How you identify, how much effort you invest.
So the kartam is not for thinking, but it's the doing.
It's to think that you are the only doer, the independent doer. Then this is a foolish donkey. But if you understand, I have some choice, but ultimately, it's also my past reactions. It's Krishna's will. It's an interaction of five factors. Yeah, but I'm one of them, and my effort is one of them. So there are different degrees of that.
So our thinking puts everything in motion.
In motion, thinking, or where do I? What happiness and distress is on my horizon? What do I think is happiness, and what do I think is distress? This choice is the basic choice. Do I look for ultimate happiness in the spiritual world, the spiritual happiness of the soul, in the interactions with the Vaishnavas, with the devotees, in connection with the Lord, or is it completely without the Lord? So our task is to find all our happiness and distress in connection with the Lord. So to connect everything to Krishna. To if there is even Lord Brahma says that if you have learned the art of seeing everything as Krishna's mercy and thanking Krishna for everything as an interplay of Krishna's mercy, Krishna's blessing, and my choices. Atma kritam vipakam. If I learn to see everything as an interplay of my reactions, which bring me in touch maybe with cruel people, maybe with criminals. Also, crimes do exist. Good and bad things exist. Bad things are there, and it's the duty of the society to punish the bad things. If the bad things are not punished, everything goes to hell very quickly. Goes to hell in a basket, right?
When it's not so apparent that what's happening is actually due to something that's happened recently, then we usually say it's happened because of previous activities in previous lives, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, so how do we explain that to someone who doesn't have that understanding? How would you break it down?
This may not be easy, and I think the first thing is to accept that, yeah, what happened is the injustice happened. It's a crime. Crime happens. Crimes happen. And if it is a crime, it has to be punished. But if you zoom out, then the task is to see what positive can you draw out of it. Or what can you learn? Is there any lesson, or is there any purification? Like, for example, after World War II, where the whole world suffered a lot, there was a sense of the total relief around the world, and some jolly enthusiasm around the world, because the whole world was united in fight against a very obvious evil, very clear, obvious evil. It was difficult to deny. It was very evil, you know. Yeah, the international Nazi, international fascist, you know, attacking and doing cruel things and blaming it all on like Hitler was blaming the Great Britain. Very similar. Yes, very similar. And denying all the crimes or hiding all the crimes, and even though, you know, it's hard now, it's impossible to hide all the crimes. Now you can see it. You have thousands and thousands of, you know, live recordings and witnesses and everything. Anyway, so after World War II, you can see that the whole world was very united, and after defeating such obvious evil, some burden was cleared, and everybody felt very energized. to build something better. And ultimately, well, we see that the basis was offered for Srila Prabhupada to come shortly after. And then here we are with Krishna consciousness and spiritual movements and higher practice around the world. Anyway, so it's difficult to say this to a suffering person, and it depends on one's introspection. Somebody is suffering a lot. Maybe it would be the very cruel thing to say that it's your own fault. Again, it's internal. It's internal. And the first thing is to say, yes, that was unjust, and we try to help. Mercy means it's actually undeserved.
They don't care about the cause.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then if the person is learning how to see the higher plan in everything that's happening, that's that exact limit of control. These are the limits of control. Can you be thankful for everything that's happening? That's a very good exercise. To thank for the good things that are there, like now in Ukraine, people are coming back to Kyiv and Kharkiv and the cities that were bombed very heavily. Kharkiv was like bombed out very badly, yeah, in 1 month.
Kharkiv,
yeah. In 1 month,
so we have a temple there.
Yeah, 1,200 buildings were, high-rise, big buildings were bombed out.
Even the temple was destroyed?
No, the temple is okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. In Kherson, our temple has been seized by the Russian troops. Yeah, so people are coming back because they hear from the people there, oh, it's so nice here, it's so wonderful, it's so peaceful here, the life is coming back. Then they come and they're horrified. Everything is bombed out and still the bombs and the missiles are coming. So they're horrified. So the difference is that the people who were there compare it to what it was just a few weeks ago. And people who come now after a few months, they compare it to what it was three months ago. So there's no comparison. It is hard to compare like this. Okay, it's time to move further. So to conclude, limits of control is how we find gratitude. So you can see that people can be grateful that at least it's not as bad as yesterday. It's a big relief. Yeah? Or it's not as bad as, you know, at that time or at that time. And you can be thankful for this. You can find you can be grateful for that. Yes. Also, this is the idea of austerity. Some fasting and some austerity trains you to be more tolerant, and then you can, again, refresh your perception of life. Nowadays, it's got a fancy name, dopamine fasting. Don't enjoy anything, right? And then you reset. You feel you are fresh again to feel life again. Find joy in small things or smaller things. So this is one way. Another way is to if someone is a very advanced spiritual sadhaka, you can try to find how everything that's happening is helping you to move forward to you. Again, it's for internal use, not to give to somebody suffering, but it's for internal use. That how I may move forward. Externally, we try to extend mercy, help people to reduce their suffering. So then, if we use our influence to be grateful, to thank Krishna for things that are happening, Krishna, thank you that, it's maybe rainy and cold, but at least there is no ice. Because some days ago, you know, big 2-centimeter hail Tocha, yeah, fell in Germany and killed somebody, or danced the cars, you know. So at least the ice is not falling from the sky, right? So we can be thankful for these things. We can be thankful we have a roof over our head. We can be thankful that in just short time, the miracle that happened here in behind the curtain will be offered as a proof to all of us that matter can be transformed into spirit. And we will be able to see that, yes, prasadam is kijai, is amazing. Krishna's prasadam. So if we use our choice to find gratitude to Krishna, and this is within control of the soul to be grateful for something, then we are moving forward in spiritual life. And then we will have clearer and clearer spiritual vision in our life. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for your discussion. We can discuss also separately during the kirtan or during prasadam or after prasadam if you want. Meanwhile, let's be thankful. It's a very famous exercise when we say Krishna Kijai and Narasimha Kijai. That's the idea. The idea is that we are thankful to Krishna for something. Again, we say Hvala, right? Hvala means also glory, like you are praised. Praise to you. Praise be to you. So we are praising the Lord, means we should be. We should say Hvala. Moramo biti hvalezni. Hallelujah.